Hey, Flippers and Mumbers, welcome to the Flips and Mumps podcast. Podcast about two guys trying to make some money, the flips that make them that money, and the bumps of the road they face along the way. You want to get a hold of this podcast, you know how to do it, yeah, email us, flipsandbumpspodcast@gmail.com. You want to follow our social media, you do it on Instagram, @flipsandbumps. And really, that's it. Besides that, just listen to us. New episodes every single Monday morning, flipsandbumps.com, or wherever you get your podcast from. That includes YouTube, youtube.com/splash splash splash splash. You know how to get there. Go there. Get there. Subscribe. Do the stuff. Two of us on the show. I'm Sasha. And this other guy, he's Pee-wee.
Oh, that was it? Hi, what's going on?
Welcome to the show, Pee-wee. How are you doing this evening?
I am good. We had a nice break.
Nice break. Forgot how to do the show. And then just halfway through the intro, I was like, you know what? I'm sick of this long intro. Let's just start this thing.
All right. I don't mind that attitude. I've got other stuff I have to do after this podcast anyways. So the faster we get out of here, the better.
It is 1 a.m.
That is not true. But I will be up till about 1 a.m. doing what I need to get done. And because we didn't have an episode last week, I have a lot to talk about this week.
I've got a lot of stuff on the clock. I do not have a lot of GST stuff, and we'll talk about that on the clock.
How is that possible? We haven't done an episode for 2 weeks.
Man, I've been worldwide traveling over here. You know me. I'm from the Chicago suburbs, but I go all the way. I stretch my wings, and I fly to places like South Milwaukee.
Whoa.
That's where I was yesterday, South Milwaukee. I went to see Anthony Jeselnik, the comedian.
Oh, we talked about this off air, yeah.
Yeah, he was doing a Netflix taping, okay. And I happened to sit in front of two of the most annoying people. I almost strangled a man and a woman last night.
Whoa. Like at the same time? Like one
in each
hand?
Yeah, I would have destroyed them, too. I got a lot of pent-up aggression. People know me here as the nice guy, and by people, I mean my dog.
That's just in comparison to the other side of this, but yes.
Yeah, the other side people know. I'm like the, I'm not going to go where I want to go. But I am going to say this. I love Milwaukee. It's a cool old town.
Were you there back-to-back weeks? Weren't you there the weekend before for the Bucks game?
We were going to go to the Knicks-Bucks games. We ended up not going.
Oh.
And the Knicks did win. And more importantly, today was the last day of the NBA season. The Knicks beat the Bulls in overtime, and the Milwaukee Bucks lost, which means the Knicks are the number 2 seed in the East. I mean, you already know that. I don't need to tell
course,
you that.
Of course. I was already listening to your other podcast.
But Jeselnik, by the way, I have a new setup here. I don't know if you can tell.
Nope.
I'm setting it up to try and keep the same thing that we have going. But pretty soon, Goff is going to be sitting right here across this desk from me.
Oh, you have a new setup because of another project you're working on.
Yeah.
I see. No, it looks the same that we normally have.
What do you think about these names for a podcast? What do you think about
these? Please, let's workshop this right now.
We have Knock It Off with Sasha and Goff.
Do these all rhyme with Goff?
We have Sneeze and Cough with Sasha and Goff. We have Laugh and Scoff with Sasha and Goff.
Uh-huh.
And I can't think of any other things that rhyme with Goff, so those are the ones.
That's...
Sneeze and Cough is pretty good. The other one that I came up with, and I loved it, and Goff loves it too, but we're not going to do it, but it's called Bozos in Outer Space. It has nothing to do with anything, but the podcast won't either. So anyway, I don't know why we're talking about this. I took a picture with the bronze Fonz statue yesterday, and I saw Jeselnik record his Netflix special, and it was great. And that's about all I've been doing for the past 2 weeks, just taking pictures with the bronze Fonz. What about you? What have you been up to lately? Anything
currently exhilarating? I'm on iTunes or whatever it is, and I'm looking up to see if Knock It Off is already taken as a podcast, and it looks like many people have used that as a title.
Yeah, but none will be as successful, clearly.
All right, that could be true. I don't have views.
I found one that was, it ended in like 2021 or something like that, but I don't know.
No, these are all 2023, but...
Great.
Yeah. Good luck. I've been busy. The reason I couldn't do the episode last week was because I was getting back from Milwaukee. I spent all last weekend in Milwaukee for the Midwest.
We love Milwaukee.
Yeah. Right. That's why I was expecting you to be out there. I don't know if I text you or not, but the building that I was in for the Midwest Gaming Classic at the video game convention was a block and a half away from the Bucks Stadium.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was literally the next block over. So I was there slinging video games from Friday till Sunday.
We were very close there yesterday. It was at the Pabst Theater, if you know where that is. You could see the stadium from it. We walked to the stadium. We were going to go to the stadium shop and buy sequined jackets.
Ooh,
jackets,
I like that.
Matching sequined jackets for me and my wife, but we did not. I assume you're going to talk about the Midwest Gaming
Classic. Yeah, I got a ton to talk about it. You got it. We should probably get into it.
All right, let's get into it. I am on the clock, and what that means is I get to talk about whatever I feel like talking about here in the flipping world. Reselling, thrifting, all that good stuff that we talk about here. When I am done, Pee-wee will have his opportunity to do so himself. I got a lot of little things. I got a lot of things that I don't have enough information on, but I'm just going to toss them. We're going to throw them at a wall. We're going to see what sticks. First and foremost, I'm going to talk about, I went to my first garage sale of the year.
Hey, okay.
It happened to be a block from my house, and I could not face you if I would have...
If you didn't go...
Past that, yeah right. I would have been like, no, I'm sick. I got COVID at a Royal Rumble party. It's crazy. I can't be at the show.
I picked up hot Chipotle today and was driving home with it in my car, and I saw a garage sale sign, and I said, nope, I'm going out of my way. I don't care if my food cools off. I will deal with it later. And I went to the garage sale as well.
I passed two today that I did not stop at.
What are you doing?
I am not in the zone, and that is a part of what I'm saying. So I went to my first garage sale. There was 20 people at this garage sale.
My God.
I did not even get to ask my questions. I just went around and I looked at baby clothes, and I got out of there. But I just wanted to say that I made it to my first garage sale. I'm telling you, I have not been motivated in the last month to do much of anything. I have barely been listing.
Okay.
I have not been going out. I got negative feedback.
Whoa.
I shipped an item the day after somebody sold it, and they did not get it for like 10 days. It was through the USPS tracking. It showed that it had been sent and lost by the USPS. It wasn't lost, but it was supposed to go to Texas, and it ended up in Florida. And so it was taking extra time to get to this place. And so they left me negative feedback that just said, I want my money back.
I see that.
And then they opened a return. And I just responded with the tracking number, which was good enough to close out the return that they were trying to get.
Did you have returns on for this?
I believe so. Maybe, maybe not.
Okay.
But then I tried to, once again, I'm known here for my kindness. Mr. Kind.
Uh-huh.
Aunt Kind. That's a book. Check out that book. It's like 600 pages. It's a ridiculous book. Anyway, I tried to reach out and say, hey, I'm not the post office. Look, I know Marty. Do you know Marty? Like, he could probably help you out. But I do not work at the post office. You can see in the tracking I sent it the next day. I noticed that it's in Florida right now. I'll give them a call. I just wanted to know if you could take off the negative feedback because that affects me as the seller, and this is not something for me. This is the post office. I got no response, and the next day or 2 days later, I don't remember which it was, they got the item. And I even told them, I said, it looks like it's still going. It's en route. It just might have ended up in the wrong place. Just let's give it a couple more days, whatever.
Okay.
They did not respond to me at all. The second that they had received it, or they sent me a message saying, it's broken, I want a return, with a picture of a broken item. Now, if you know me, you know shipping, I go overboard
on shipping
stuff. It was a like bigger item. It was like a blender. Okay. So it wasn't a bigger box, and who knows what happened and how it got anywhere. But I was not about to... I was done dealing with it. These people were sick of whatever. I was sick of them. I was not going to pay to ship it back to myself. They opened another case with eBay, this time for the broken thing.
Okay.
And I did not want to have them send it back because they sent me the picture of it. Maybe they had a broken one. They were just sending me their own picture.
Did you do any like detective work, or you just said, nope, I'm done with it?
I looked at it, and I was like, there's nothing I can really tell on my end.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And so I was like, you know what? You guys keep it. I'm giving you the money back. and just don't ever contact me again. I think I maybe even blocked them from my store.
You may be able to contact eBay and get that feedback removed.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like nowadays it's even harder to get feedback removed from eBay. They're just keeping everything up.
Oh, you think so? What are you basing that on?
Everything that I watch on YouTube and the other podcasts I listen to, that's all they talk about, how like eBay is no longer seller friendly. They're basically doing the Amazon thing where the buyer is always right regardless of situation, even if they are, you know, whatever, yeah, clearly at fault or
which
whatever.
Which is fine. Like, if that's what you need to do, I kind of get it. We talked about this with like Mercari going the opposite direction away from eBay's like strategies, and I you know, yelled at them for doing that. And it's same thing. If eBay's not going along with what they need to do to cater to the buyers, in my opinion, then that's what they should be doing.
I've also gotten a couple like returns on clothing, which like it's not that I get returns. Like I haven't gotten a return in a very long time for anything. And now the fact that I'm getting like a bunch at one time, you're like, what is going on over here? Yeah. And so like, you know, that with the negative feedback, two returns, eBay's sales for me have been lower. I mean, I'm not putting in the effort, so that makes sense. But it also just seems lower in general. I mean, I follow a bunch of different eBay sellers, and I mean, I'm looking at your store as well, but you know, you're not listing a ton of things either, but you have a bunch of good stuff. I just feel like eBay's kind of slowed down a little bit, or maybe not necessarily like anything wrong with eBay. I just feel like people aren't spending the money like they used to. But however, we did get a positive review on our Apple podcast, which is crazy because like I haven't asked in
wow,
a couple
that's
weeks.
Great. Yeah.
And then somebody left a 5-star review. Thank you to
wow,
whoever
thank you guys
sent that. Yeah, it was really, really nice. It's always nice to see those things. So like, you know, in the sea of like, I don't want to say bad things that are happening, but just like you get negative feedback, you get these returns, you're like, oh, you're so annoyed with things. It's nice to get that positive
that's
review.
Cool.
But yeah, so I've just been in like a down mode the past probably month or so or whatever. Ever since I stopped consistently listing. So I don't know what that's all about.
Interesting.
But yeah, so... I haven't been going to Goodwills. I haven't been like,
man, what is up with you? You okay?
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I mean, you could just, I'm spending a lot of time in Milwaukee. It's a whole thing, people. It's a whole thing. One thing I did want to bring up is to, just a reminder here, check your pricing. I had an interesting situation this week with Media Mail. I ended up selling I went through all my DVDs recently. I have so many DVDs that are, I'm waiting to try and complete the set before I put them on eBay.
Yeah.
And I've had them for so long that I was like, you know what? Let's clear this up. Let's sell what I can sell. Let's get rid of the things that I have not been able to find. You know, I'll give them to my local thrift shop. They can try and sell them, do whatever. Let me complete sets by purchasing stuff on eBay if I need to.
Okay.
Let me do what I need to do. Let me see what's worth money, what isn't, because they've been sitting here long enough. I don't need them here anymore, and it's just a project, something to clean up my area a little bit. And so I ended up selling. I had Simpsons DVDs episodes 1 through 8 or something like that, and I ended up selling these things for like $30-$40, and it was £8 in Media Mail. And so then I was kind of taking a look because I know Media Mail prices have jumped a lot, in the past, I don't know, let's say year, 2 years, whatever it is. And I was like, let me see what the price is going to be. And this £7-8, whatever it was, ended up being something like, I'm just going to say off the top of my head, around $8.50, maybe $9, right? Which is like a lot for Media Mail, but it is a lot of Media Mail that I'm selling. It's a heavy bundle of media. So I was like, let me just see what this would be on ground. You know what I mean? Like, this ground advantage wasn't really here when I was selling media a lot more.
Okay.
So let me kind of take a look at the pricing here. And I switched over to ground advantage, and it ended up being something like 60 cents cheaper.
I've never had an instance so far where ground is not cheaper.
Ever since they put ground in, I don't think I've sold anything. I've never sent anything
priority.
Yeah,
I don't have a ton of Media Mail stuff either.
Yeah.
But I still check when I do, and it's always ground.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why the other ones exist.
It's crazy, but it's good. And then the other option was Priority.
Oh no.
Are you there?
Oh, here you are. Okay, you're back.
All right, I'm back. The other option was Priority Mail, which was only like 60 cents more than the Media Mail. And so that's like, you know, if you send Media Mail, you know, it's sometimes it takes a couple weeks or whatever. And you're like, is this thing going anywhere? Yeah, did they actually
just send 60
it?
Cents and you're good to go.
Yeah, and it'll be there in 2 days and you'll be happy about it. So just a reminder to check your pricing on that stuff, especially if you're sending bulk media mail over, you know, 7-8 pounds when the pricing gets high enough. Yeah.
Is your internet not working again?
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. What, you can't hear me or what?
No, you're good. Just you froze earlier, and that's the only problem. But I thought you worked these problems out.
Look, everything stinks.
Gotcha.
I'm no longer kind, and I'm also just devastatingly sad.
All right. So. Well, bright side is you only have a couple more weeks of this podcast before you can leave me for golf completely.
No. We have a no thrifting talk rule on that podcast.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
What other rules do you have on that podcast?
That's the only rule. It really is the only rule. And no politics. We're not into politics.
Okay.
The other thing, I found two new thrift stores in the past couple weeks, so you would think I'd be happier about finding new places, but both of them ended up being, places that are charging whatever they want to charge, which is fine. We've talked about that here, but it doesn't help me find things to resell. A lot of like higher priced items, when you're going to a place and they're like, oh yeah, box sets are $6, and you're like, No, it's not going to
work. You're saying like seasons, individual seasons?
Yeah, a season of The Office, which like you can get for $3 shipped to your house.
Right.
So a lot of overpriced stuff like that. And look, I'm going to go back to these places. I'm happy that new places are opening up. One of them was actually really interesting because it's like a veteran-owned, two guys who I think are from the Army or whatever. And they just opened up this thrift store, and so they also send some money to like Army services or whatever. So that's like the charity thing that they're kind of working for. Not that the Army is a charity, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I walked out of that store and I realized they had a truck out front that was advertising their junk removal business. So it's one of those places where like, they're getting paid to do the junk removal. They're keeping the stuff, and I'm sure they're donating the stuff that has no value, but the stuff that does have value, they've opened up their own little storefront. I think it's a great idea. I've thought of like doing it myself in the past, just like this might be a cool thing to do.
Yeah, it's the same as storage units. It's junk removal, right? Yes, you will get some good stuff, but you'll also have a ton of garbage you need to start dealing with.
Yeah, it's like a business and work, and that's not what we're here to do. We're here to work as little as possible and pillage off of others, I believe. I believe that's the slogan of this podcast. Those two new stores, it was cool to see. Too many high prices. And I was talking to Goff about a different store that he had talked about recently to me. I've never been there before. It's not very far from me.
Okay.
And I haven't stopped by at this place since I found out that it exists. And he was telling me the same. He's like, they have a good selection of stuff. It's just higher priced. So that's going to be another place that I'm going to go check out. But it seems to me, I mean, there's more resellers than ever. I mean, at this point, I'm going to Goodwill. And every time I go to Goodwill, it's packed. And it doesn't matter which Goodwill. I'm in the Chicago suburbs. You live where the buffalo roam. So it might be different by you. By me, it's like, doesn't matter what time of day, nobody works anymore. Everybody's flipping or reselling. If they do work, they're flipping and reselling on the side. Have you noticed? Is it busier by you?
Not that I've noticed, no. A couple of garage sales I went to this week, I didn't buy anything at any of them, but there was nobody at both of them. The Goodwill, I had a better week at Goodwill this week than I have in probably months. And it's not like more busy or I don't know. No, I haven't noticed anything out here.
Okay. I actually had an interesting situation at the place that we call Goff Secret Shop.
Yeah.
I went over there, and I don't really have any relationship with the people who work there. You know, like, they know me, so we say hello and how, the weather's great and blah, blah, blah. But I don't really have anything past that with them.
Have you tried anything? I know this isn't what you're talking about, but, like...
It kind of is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I've tried. It's just tough with the people at the store. They don't seem...
Interesting.
To be very receptive.
Okay. So with, like, I always reference that thrift store that I, quote-unquote, volunteer at, where I help them test stuff.
Yeah.
The way that I got my foot in the door with them is literally one of the ladies who was running the place at the time noticed that I was in there, like, routinely, and she just came up to me. She's like, hey, is there anything you're looking for that I can help you with?
Oh, man, this is...
Right.
This is insane because this is exactly what I'm talking about today.
Okay.
So, like, the only person I regularly kind of talk to is the owner, this lady who's perfect. Very kind. She says hello to everybody. She's a great owner of the store. I saw her. I was talking to her. I was actually looking at some, like, Matchbox cars that were older or whatever. And she walked up to me and, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? She goes, so do you resell these things? It's the first time we've ever talked about anything reselling. Okay. Until then, she just assumed that I loved sweatshirts, I'm guessing. I don't know. So, like, and I was surprised with my answer because I was just like, I buy stuff and then I resell them on eBay. And a couple years ago, I would have been like, oh, no, this is for my son, Blorf. His name's Blorf.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I used to be a little bit more hidden with this stuff. I feel most people are because there's kind of like a little, is this okay?
Exactly. You don't know what their reaction is going to be. So what did she say?
So she was like, oh, that's cool. And then she asked me this question. Is there anything that you look for in particular to resell? Are you a toys guy? And I was
said, are you a toys guy? Oh, you were
looking
at
Matchbox. Holding toys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, I got my hopes up. Okay.
And I go, no. That's what I said.
Great.
I was like, no, just anything that I could resell. I didn't say... And then I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? I know, sorry, we don't swear here. And
but
hell.
Still, that's the accurate question to ask you. At that point, that's when you should, even if you don't have a specialty, you should say something to guide her in the right direction to helping you out.
Because she's clearly asking for a reason, like, oh, maybe we have an extra amount of this, or,
right.
Oh, if I see any of these things, I'll let you know, or whatever. And in my mind, I just wasn't ready to have a conversation
sure.
or something.
That happens.
And so I was just like, no, just anything, really.
Correct.
And then we kept talking about it, and I asked her questions about reselling instead of, like, trying to build a relationship with her. Like, I was like... Yeah, I resell stuff. I put it on eBay. And she goes, oh, you're probably not a big clothes person, are you? And I was like, no, huge clothes guy. You should see my eBay store. 90% clothes at this point. And I was telling her, yeah, I put stuff on Mercari. I put stuff on Poshmark. Yeah. I'm trying these other things and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, a lot of people, like, don't, you know, you see them, like, hiding behind a clothes rack looking
second
stuff up or
stuff,
whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, that used to be me. I used to be the same way because you never know how people are going to react. And she goes, I price my stuff the way I want to price it. I understand we're the bottom feeders. And just basically, you know, as long as we're selling stuff and I'm reaching my goals, I'm happy if other people can reach theirs. So she,
and that also,
you know,
helps
totally...
her reach her goals. It's if she was pricing stuff at a higher rate, she wouldn't sell stuff as much. And yeah, everybody wins. Yeah.
Exactly. She sees it in the way that I feel is the correct way to look at it, but
I
also don't know.
I hate that. Like, you need to be ready, like, not you, but just anyone who's in, like, a thrift environment. Anything, whether it's Goodwill, a mom-and-pop store, whatever, a garage sale, whatever it is, always have your conversation ready to be steered towards getting your mission across, right? Or getting your interests in front of them. You're having a friendly conversation, which sounds nice, and you're sharing your information with her, but at the same time, like, maybe there's information you don't want her to have.
I know. And I was thinking of that while I was doing it.
Right.
And I thought about that afterwards, and there wasn't really anything that I didn't not sure. care to share. Like, I don't care that she knows that stuff. If she wants to kick me out of her store, then I'll be like, all right, I guess. Like, what a weird thing to do. I don't want to shop at your store if you're going to be like that. Sure. But then, you know, it's a loss of a thing for me. But I don't know. She's just, I know that she's a kind person. I kind of knew already that the way that she was. But what you're saying,
like, you have information that could make her job easier. Right.
Exactly. What can I offer her that so she can also be
well,
like,
no, I'm saying you have information that can make her job easier that would also be counterproductive to you and what you're trying to do. Like, yeah. Hey, I see when you guys are checking your prices, you're looking stuff up on eBay wrong. Whatever they're doing. Let's just say they're doing it wrong. Yeah. I can help you guys and you'll have more accurate pricing and maybe that leads to them having higher prices. Well, I'm not going to – I like you and you're my – like, I don't want to say you're my friend, but like – We're cordial with each other, but I'm still not going to smarten you up when it's going to hurt my yeah. bottom dollar in the long run. The mom and pop thrift store that I volunteer at, that I help them test stuff, I could easily tell them that, hey, you know all those video games that you hold for me, which isn't many, but do you know that the video game stuff that you hold for me that you want me to test, most of it doesn't have to be tested. Like, most of it's going to work, and if it doesn't, yeah. just have them return it. Like, but that would... could get, I mean, 100% kill what I'm doing there.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I understand.
Yeah. You have to walk a line. Like, you cannot just try to go in there and just be friendly. Like,
that's my problem.
That's my point is that you are,
I know.
You let it's not a bad thing, but you do the same thing at Garage Sales. As far as like the impression that I get from the show, is you go in with your goal being, I want them to smile. And not yeah. with their goal being, I want them to know that I'm the toy guy, or I'm the clothes guy, or I'm the video game guy, right? We go
and
in with different missions.
That's the other half of it. Like, one is, that's exactly correct. And not smile. I want them to laugh to where boogers come out of their nose.
Great.
But, like, that's what makes me happy. Like, I have a dentist who's very, very stern. And I've gotten her to laugh twice, which I've never seen anybody get her to laugh. She, like, her people... live in fear. And I've gotten her to laugh twice to the point now where I'm cool with my dentist, okay. But she still plays country music. But the other thing is, I was not prepared in like what I'm looking for, because I don't have something specific that I'm looking
for. But that's the thing. It doesn't have to be true. You just need to give her examples of stuff that are worth money to you that she can keep an eye on. It's better than saying nothing.
I know. You're exactly correct. But part of me was like, if I'm like, oh, no, I like video games, and she's like, oh, yeah, we got video games, or whatever it was, like, I don't know anything about video. Like, I don't know anything about anything.
You could figure it out.
I don't know. Maybe. I know I did it completely wrong.
Okay.
But it was like an afterthought. Like, I was leaving. I was still in the building. I was walking away, and I was like, well, that was pointless of me. Like, she's, like, reaching out and saying, you know, like, what are you looking for? And blah, blah. And now, you know, I still feel comfortable to go, oh, by the way, you know, you asked me the other
yes,
day.
Yes, you absolutely should do that. Yes.
I should. But I'm going to be like, do you have large couches? Or I'm going to say something stupid that I don't actually look for. You know what I mean?
I mean, really think about what you're going to say before you go in there next time. And yeah. hopefully she's working and hopefully you do better than you did the first time.
I know.
Amazing. Amazing
work. Can you go with me? Can you go in with me?
Sure. I'll just do you have a mask of somebody that looks like you? I could just go in and just be you.
The other thing we got going on over here, there's been some changes on eBay recently. Nothing that's super, super big that affects us, but something that was interesting because we just talked about how Mercari took away their fees, right? No more fees for the seller. And we're like, oh, well, it's going to the buyer now, and that's going to affect buyers going in. Well, eBay UK has made a change to its sale of secondhand clothing. So same exact kind of thing that Mercari is selling. I mean, they sell everything or whatever. But here's what the article says. It says, effective immediately, eBay has abolished fees on the sale of secondhand clothing on its platform, a move to encourage more buyers to participate in the circular economy of fashion. The change affects the sale of pre-owned clothing, including items that still have tags attached to them, but excludes items like shoes, watches, jewelry, handbags. So literally, like, you know, pants and shirts and hoodies and whatever, they're no longer charging fees in the UK, most people are saying that is to try and keep up with the Mercaris and all these other places who are making these changes. What they're saying is free fashion selling has come at the right time for a nation sitting on billions of dollars worth of unwanted clothes. So that's that was said by eBay's general manager of global fashion. So what they're saying is they're trying to push people who have clothes in their closet and don't know what to do with them, get them out there. I don't buy the whole, let's make this commitment to sustainable clothing and whatever else you want to say to make you sound cool. But they're just trying to get more people to put their stuff up, to get more selling, blah, blah, blah. But they're taking out fees. So another company that's taking out fees on the buyer side, on the seller side, and probably putting it on the buyer side. Do you think this will come to America? Do you think this is a new thing? What do you think about this?
If it wasn't like, I don't know how closely eBay UK versus eBay US are like connected, but I just think it's such a crazy concept. I can't see it coming here, but like if they are two closely operated companies, like they're basically the same company that's run the same way, they're just in different countries, then yeah, I do see it coming here because how can you keep, how can you have two totally separate policies? I don't know.
It's like maybe a test to see how it goes before they just put it everywhere.
Maybe. That could be.
The other thing eBay did was they went into an agreement with PSA, or Collectors, or whatever the company name is that you want to call. We talked about PSA recently on the show because I sent in cards to be graded by PSA and got it back. And here's what it says here. The transactions, including a trading card commercial agreement that aims to provide trading enthusiasts a seamless buying, selling, grading, and storage experience. So they're combining with PSA to do a couple things, right? One of the things is eBay is turning over their vault. So they have this eBay vault that is, it allows collectors to store their trading cards that are worth over $750 at eBay in like a temperature controlled vault. PSA has this. Yeah, PSA has the same exact thing.
Why would you trust eBay?
Why would you trust anybody? Like, why wouldn't you want your card?
At least PSA deals with cards. Like, eBay's just eBay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it was eBay's way of trying to get into the trading card game the same way. But basically now, PSA is taking that over. So eBay's vault is going to PSA. Additionally, eBay acquired Collector's Auction House. So it was called Goldin, G-O-L-D-I-N. And that's just to kind of, like, expand inventory and, like, new audience and that sort of thing. I don't really understand that because I don't know what Goldin is. I didn't want to look into it. But yeah, and then the other thing that is going to be offered by PSA. So if you want to sell your or send in your cards to get graded, PSA, instead of sending it back to you, they can keep them in their vault and they will list them if you want to on eBay immediately without you having to do anything. And then they have whatever their fees are, 16, 15, 14%. Whatever it is, their benefit is holding on to your stuff. And they're just trying to make it, I guess, easier for you to list stuff instead of having to wait to get it, to ship, to blah, 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 to this and that, and hopefully streamlining the process so that they get more people sending in cards. Because I know a lot of people don't want to send in stuff because they don't know when it's going to come back, how it's going to... It took 2 months for me to get my stuff back, so... I don't know. It's just new eBay stuff here. We do have one more trading card situation here. I was talking about the card that I had, the Victor Wembanyama, that I pulled that was a $400 sale. By the way, the guy got the card and noticed a nick on the back.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it was a nick, but a little white mark or whatever, and messaged me saying, "Did you know about this?" And I was like, let me take a look at my stuff here, because now you have to send cards to be authenticated to eBay as well. So I took a look at it, and on my picture, that little thing was there. And in my description, it said, make sure you look at the cards because it looks great to me, but you know, you keep your eye on this thing. So it was in my pictures.
Okay.
And but the guy didn't say he wanted a refund or anything. He was just like, did you notice this? I hope this doesn't affect the grading. And I responded with nothing. waiting to see what would happen.
Hope this doesn't affect the grading. Of course it's going to affect the grading.
And then he left me positive review.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
And so I was like, okay. High five. I was like, yeah, yeah. And now I'm definitely not going to respond.
Yeah, of course. Block him.
We do have a couple questions here. One of them I'm going to hold until next week since I'm already going a little bit long here. But one of them, I know it's going to be an easy answer, and I think you're going to get heated.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you this. It's a long question, so I hope you like my voice. So this is our first ever anonymous email. Somebody who wanted to know.
Scared of us. Okay, great.
No. They obviously had a name, but they were like, please don't read my name. I want to know what your guys' opinion of this is on the Flips and Bumps Shady scale.
All right.
And I mean, I know where you're going to go head with this. It's the same way where I'm going to head with it, but I'll just ask you the question.
I like the shady scale. In reference to the shady scale, I like stuff that sounds shady but ends up being like on the low side of the scale.
Well, then you're gonna love this.
Okay, all right. Let's see what happens.
It's also an Etsy situation. I know you have some history with Etsy, so it's kind of you might have some information here that I don't have. So to set the scene, I've been selling vintage items through my Etsy shop on and off for 12 years.
I hate that
and
already.
And probably like your eBay business, I have to weigh and measure each item for shipment before listing it.
Yeah.
The cost for postage is then automatically calculated based on the buyer's location. Now, because of this system, there's no way to set postage price when bought with another item, since the system can't possibly know how I would combine the two items into one package. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know.
I
don't know how Etsy works. Like, when eBay does it just adds the two weights together.
Yeah.
And then charges the... I mean, it depends on how your shipping is. If you have free shipping, it doesn't matter. It just charges it to... It just comes to you and prompts you to make the label, and then you can edit it if you want. If the buyer is paying for shipping, it just charges them the huge amount that it would be. And then when you condense them, obviously, because you're subtracting at least a box from that scenario, in most cases, usually you can drop that down and you're making money in that case if it's eBay and the buyer is paying for shipping.
It's a weird situation because it's like you don't know the sizes of the actual thing. I guess
you have the option to adjust it before you print the label. I don't know if that's the same in Etsy.
So they go on to say, so to help customers not overpay, and this is where you're going to start getting mad.
Right.
So to help customers not overpay on postage and incentivize a sale, I ask buyers to reach out to me beforehand so I might customize their postage for them while buying more than one item. I make this known all over my shop, in my shop announcement, in my frequently asked questions, in my shop policies, and directly on every single listing. It's uncommon for me to get multi-order items, and most who do will send me a message ahead of time. However, occasionally, I get movie sets or TV shows or regular folks who say nothing. Nothing in the notes to seller, no messages, nothing. Typically, what I've done is refunded overages after I've prepared the item for shipping in the case where the overage is more than $5. Yet in my dozen or so times of doing this over the last several years, I think only once has a customer messaged me to acknowledge that they saw the refund email and appreciated it. I never see comments in my reviews. They never leave messages, nothing. Perhaps there's a flaw in the system that buyers aren't being notified, but I doubt that. So my question is this. If I'm making it clear over my shop and listings what the process is, how can I know this non-messaging isn't intentional? How do I know customers aren't just trying to support me as a small business or have a crazy movie-sized budget to blow or feel my prices are very reasonable and they're doing it on purpose, like a tip, to, like extra money? Am I throwing money away by refunding them when they have already theoretically agreed to this price? They see the cost, they know the breakdown of what the package and item fees are. Isn't it on them to decide if they're happy with that price before purchasing? If I had given free shipping but hidden extra costs in the item, wouldn't I be in the same situation, but the customer would never know? Or am I doing the right thing by refunding the money? What would you do on the shadiness scale? Where would this sit with you guys? I'd love your professional opinions. I immediately responded back, we are not professionals.
Smart.
We'll answer your question this week. What do you think, Pee-wee?
Yeah, the more I thought about this, the more I realized this would happen when I do Etsy. It's been years, but I want to say I would also refund them. unprompted, I would just send the refund. I would just figure it out, and then I would do it. It's, I mean, it is the right thing to do. I get what he's saying. It's not a, if you want to keep it, keep it. If they, and then if they message you and ask you for the difference, then you send it. It is never implied that it's a tip or that they just have an extra budget and money. Don't chalk it up to that. If you just want to take the money and run and hope they don't contact you, then do it. Right? Then I don't judge any. They're paying for it, right? They've already done that. They didn't send a message. There was no agreement beforehand that you would refund them. By all means, you're entitled to that money. Ethically, I would refund the stuff. And I believe that's what I would always do back then.
I'm not going to lie. I am shocked by your answer.
It was a different business. Like, it, okay. I wasn't as ruthless with it. It was like a homemade craft thing. It's,
I wouldn't even like chalk it up to ruthless. I would just think that you're more along the lines of like, well, they agreed to pay for it. They did pay for it. So why not? But also, I don't know how Etsy works. So it could be a little bit different of a system.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Like, ethically, I would also be in the same boat where I would be like, I can't just continuously keep this. But I do keep, you know, on eBay if people are overpay for my shipping. I don't ever give back on that thing. So I'm actually surprised because I thought you were going to be like, no, take the money.
Oh, no. It's, I mean, Etsy and eBay are different. The way it would work would be it's processed differently. It adds up differently.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Because eBay combines the shipping. Right? Doesn't it?
They do, but it was also weird to me that they do because
you might not be able to.
Yeah, or like how do they know by size? Especially like I ship stuff and it's by cubic, you know. If they have the two sizes, are they just adding those two sizes?
I know they do add the weights. I don't know about the
weights
size.
Weights I get.
The size of the box, I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, eBay or Etsy doesn't do it that way. Etsy just, if you have two items and the shipping on both items was $6.99, or let's just make it $5 a piece, they're just charging you $10.
$6.99.
Exactly. Okay. They're just charging you the combined amount, and eBay essentially just assumes you're going to, you could do this, just ship them individually. Don't process the refund, just ship everything individually.
Yeah, if you feel like, that's so interesting, because I guess I didn't think of the fact that Etsy might do it a little bit differently there.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Interesting.
Or at least they did.
All right, so where do you put this on the shady scale of...
keeping it?
Of keeping the money, yeah.
And not processing a refund? It's low. Yeah, like you said, I think it's low. It's a 2 or 3.
Okay, so either way, whatever you're doing is fine. Whatever makes you feel better, go ahead and do it. Yeah.
Usually you have people reach out beforehand. They get to the checkout process and they see, Etsy is, I'm buying 3 items from the same seller and they're charging me 3x the shipping. Etsy isn't smart enough to combine it. So I'm going to cancel this and I'm going to message the buyer or the seller and see if I can work something out. That's usually what would happen to me.
Seems annoying to have that extra bit of work out of the kindness of your heart.
That too, right. That's the only reason that I remember doing it, because I would sit here with my open spreadsheet and I would have to like manually calculate, okay, they paid this, I paid this, what's the difference? I need to refund that. It was a pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, don't feel bad for keeping the money. Don't feel bad for giving the money back.
Do whatever
feels good for
you. That's how
we
feel.
We are not professionals, and that is all I have to say, Pee-wee. You are on the clock.
Oh, quick 44 minutes there. Thanks. Okay.
I'll make it up in GST, I promise.
Okay, that's fine. Like I said, I do have a lot. I might even cut some of my GST and save it for next week.
Oh, and by the way, Real Deal Neil and Eric in New Jersey, we will answer your questions next week, I promise.
Cool. Right. We got a loaded show next week. I'll get some quick stuff out of the way, and then I'll talk about the video game convention. I found this at Goodwill. This is a Charizard, I think. Charmander, one of those. It's the orange dragon guy plush. I was going to pick this up. This was this week, so it was after the video game convention. But I'm like, man, this would have sold great at my show. People are always buying plush. I will spend the entire summer, I will pick up any Pokemon plush that I see at a garage sale for like a buck or two. because they all, by the end of any convention I take these to, they're gone, and I sell them for anywhere between $10 and $30, if not more.
Even like the main character ones that are
absolutely. The niche stuff doesn't apply there. Even if Pikachus are even better. This guy, Squirtle, even better, because that's who you're it's kids walking around, and the kids are looking to, the dads are the collectors, and they're looking to spend big money. They brought their kid with them, and the dads end up feeling guilty because they're dragging their kid around. They want to find something for their kid, but everywhere they look is just video games from 1995. The kid has no interest in it. Oh, there's a stuffed animal of the Pokemon you like. Let's go grab that. And he doesn't even care about the price. So I'm at Goodwill, about to, you know, bring this up to checkout. I flip it over. You want to guess what? This is individually, my Goodwill has started, like, individually tagging some of the plush, like the Disney plush and apparently the Pokemon plush. Guess the price on the back of this thing.
$6.99?
I wish. $9.99.
That was my second
$9.99 yeah. on this thing. That's unbelievable.
I had a lady at Goodwill who was elderly, I would say. You know, very old lady walking around and just started telling me how the prices are ridiculous, sure. and, like yelling at me.
Right. Like, it happens all
the time. These prices are out of control.
When I get to Goodwill early and we're waiting for it to open, a handful of us will just stand outside the doors, and that's always the conversation that comes up. And I don't get into my tirade of like, it's their business, they can do whatever they want, but I just kind of keep quiet. But everybody complains about the increase of the price.
$9.99
for a plush. This isn't even a big plush. Like, it's like the size of like two of my hands. Like, it's maybe 8 inches big. I was shocked. I will talk about it once it arrives, but I was for whatever reason, I'll talk about it next week. I was searching out a Ninja Turtle figure, a vintage one, and found one on eBay, and they had it for like $19.99. I sent an offer for $14.99. And was just hoping to get it back. And the next notification I got was like later that afternoon, I was told your item has shipped. Meaning that there was no, I guess when I sent the offer, like they confirmed all my like card information and all that stuff. And then I sent the offer and apparently the guy accepted. Like there was no confirmation like, hey, he accepted. Do you want to pay? It was just immediate. Yeah. It is not only have you paid, but it is already like the label is printed and it's on its way to you. I was just surprised by that based on how much we've talked about eBay dragging their feet and how offers are not requiring people to pay immediately. Have you seen the change there at all?
No, and that's why it's crazy. Man, it's because it's not the same across the board. Because I've sold items this week that I'm waiting for payments or whatever.
That's nuts.
It's insane. It's the one thing about Poshmark that I really, really like. If somebody offers you any price and you go, yep, it's done. They get charged. Poshmark emails you the postage. You don't even have to worry about the postage. And they send you a priority
postage.
You should
say you do have the option to accept or decline the offer. But once you accept it is paid for. Like there's no, exactly. It doesn't bounce back to them and say, hey, I know you asked about this, but do you really want it?
And it makes you think, why doesn't this exist on eBay? If another company is clearly doing it.
The problem is it does. Why does it exist on half of eBay? That's even worse.
Yeah, I guess. It's like eBay UK. Let's see what happens there.
Exactly. I get that I guess I'll start talking about the video game convention now. But that happens at conventions all the time. Hey, you have $50 on this game. Would you take $45? Yeah, I take it's within 10%. I don't say it out loud, but yeah, I'd take 45. Okay, I'll let you know. But no, that's not that kind of stuff.
I would say you have to change that now. Like you have to go, I'll do 45 if you pay me right now.
I don't want to. No, it should just be implied. It should just be yes. He's asking, would I do 45? Yes, I will. It's
good to know.
So frustrating. It's so frustrating. Right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I had some good. The weekend overall at the video game convention was good. Had some frustrating instances. Had some good instances. But I went into this thing like my attitude towards this whole thing was kind of down.
Yeah, I was nervous. I'm still a little nervous, yeah. But I feel a little bit better the way that you're talking.
I think we're both on the same like wavelength as far as me going into it. My problem was I got a ton of video games last summer, and then I did the video game convention Retropalooza in October, September, and I sold almost everything. And then
big problem.
Well, no, that was great. But then from that show, the day after that show until Milwaukee, the show last weekend, what I was telling other vendors when we would talk about this is that I probably increased my inventory by 5%, meaning 95% of my table was stuff that was not only seen in Houston in September, but it was seen by the entire convention for 2 days, and it was passed on for 2 days. I've had the average consumer look at my stuff, and I had a prime spot at the convention in Houston or Texas, wherever it was, or Dallas. And after those 2 days, I still had all that inventory, and the inventory I'm bringing to Milwaukee is 95% the same as that all of the previous inventory. My hopes were so down on this show. I just kept going into it like, this is the show where I bring my wife and my kid. We get a hotel. But I'm like, that means I'm doing the math going into it. Like, the tables were, I paid $760 for two 10x10 spaces with the table rental. Then I have to get the hotel. We stay at the hotel that the convention is connected to. My wife won't even tell me how much that hotel is. I just have her book it, put it on her credit card, and then at the end of the month, she tells me how much I need to pay her back for on total on the whole month. But I have to think that it's probably like at least $300 a night, which is a ton. I would never spend that much going to Texas. I'm always like getting hotels. I would always spend the bare minimum. But I'm also staying in hotels that are the bare minimum, and I'm not going to put my wife and my kid through that. It's terrifying because I have, when I'm doing those trips, like I'm in Texas, I have my cash box. I have my bin of the stuff that I know is going in my glass case. I don't leave that stuff in my car because I'm so afraid of the parking lots of these, of the hotels that I stay in because they're so like shady. And I'll wake up in the middle of the night and just like go to the window and look out the window to see if my car has been broken into yet. It's terrifying. Every trip I do on the way there and on the way back, it's terrifying.
Who hurt you, Pee-wee?
It's not that. It's just that it's the caliber of hotels that I know. When I'm trying to spend $40 a night at a hotel, I'm not getting the luxury.
I know the same thing. I used to play in a band.
Yeah, there you go.
When we would go with a trailer and you would park your trailer in a shady hotel or whatever, you're like, is my trailer still there?
Right. That's exactly what it was. So now I'm starting to do the math. We're like $760 for the table space. Let's say $600 because it's two hotel nights. $600 for the hotel. We're at like $1,300 plus.
And you haven't eaten.
Well, I never count food because this is how messed up my mind is. I'm like, well, I'd be eating at home anyway, so I can't really count that against me. Okay. I'm in a situation where gas doesn't count against me either, which is nice. But I also haven't factored in the cost of the video games. You know what I mean? Like, I'm at $1,300 spent, and I haven't even counted in the cost it was to get my inventory. Let's assume all the video games are free, knowing that 95% of my table was already seen by two people or by 2 days worth of people. Based on like how I've done previously at these shows and just what I've done, the same show last year, I did about $4,900. This show, this time a year later, my goal was $3,000. It was to just make $3,000 in sales. Again, I'm not talking about the profit. I'm not talking about the cost of inventory. I'm not talking about anything. I'm just talking about people coming to my table and spending $3,000 worth of video games. Now, if you go into my margins, $3,000 would be terrible for this weekend that I'm already in the hole for $1,300, right?
Is 3,000, are you considering that a break even?
No, I'm just saying that's best case scenario based on my inventory. Okay. Like, it's not, I'm just trying to like hedge my bets and be like, that's probably what I'll do. I'm just trying not to be disappointed, right?
Yeah.
I'll be disappointed by the margins, but at least I'll have that disappointment going into it. There's other factors too. Like I give my wife 10% of what I sell cash wise, at the end of every show. So like if I make a grand, she gets $100. Just because I need to take the whole summer and try to gather video games. And meanwhile, that means she needs to stay at home. And while I'm at garage sales, she needs to stay with our kid. And I'm just kind of like compensating her for her time. So that's another 10%, right? So whatever it is, another 10%, let's say I make the $3,000, $300 now goes to my wife. So now I'm at $1,600 in the hole. That's more than 50% of what I've made I'm spending. And I'm not including the cost of my inventory. I could easily stay home and list this stuff on eBay and make 80 to 85%, right? But I'm deciding to go to this convention, and if I make $3,000, well, then I am making 45%. You know what I mean? And now if I make $10,000 or $14,000, which I've done before, it's a different story. Then it's worth it.
Yeah.
But if I'm making low numbers, it definitely is not worth it. So my goal was not decided on by my, like, where my margins were. It was just decided on based on what I thought my, like, probability of doing, like, my performance was going to be. I'll talk about a couple, like, goofy things first, then I'll get into the actual numbers. I talked for probably a couple of years on this show now about wanting to make shirts that we wear at garage sales that say, hey, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for video games, toys, blah, 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 blah. So I can get, it's a different way to ask your questions. Somebody who's not, like, who you're not talking to might see your shirt and ask you about it. There was one guy at the convention who came up to my booth, and he wasn't looking to flip stuff, but he had a shirt that said, my checklist. I'm looking for these games. And it had a list of games that were on the shirt.
Wow.
And it was like 12 games. Three of them had check marks, so he'd already found them. And I was very excited for that, because, like, based on what we talked about on this podcast, I was like, oh, that's great. Great idea. He's like, oh, man, thank you so much. I spent so, like, it was a printed shirt. It's not like he hand wrote on the shirt. He actually had it printed. He's like, I've been here for 6 hours and no one said anything about my shirt.
Wow.
So, right. So that tells me maybe my shirt idea isn't a great idea. But I was just impressed that the kid did it. The other thing that I wanted to touch on about the show before I get into the numbers is taking card. Normally, I take card at these shows by using PayPal. PayPal used to have an app called PayPal Here. You can use a card reader where you would have to, like, sign up with PayPal with PayPal Here. You request a card reader. I think you have to pay like $30. And then if you use the card reader for transactions in person, there's no additional fee. But you also have to keep the thing charged. It doesn't always work. It's a pain to use. If you end up not, I have it. And I would just, by the end, after using it for like 3 shows, I was like, this isn't worth it. It's too much of a pain. It's too much of a hassle. There's another option to just like hand type in the credit card number, the expiration date, and the security code. Something I didn't like doing, because I don't like people thinking that I'm stealing their credit card information.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust you with my credit card.
But I've never had somebody say anything. Like, I'm always like holding it in front of, like, holding my phone down so they can see what I'm typing in. Never had a problem with it.
And I've committed credit card fraud to you.
What?
In Milwaukee.
What does that mean?
A long time ago, you dropped a credit card, you left it at a bar in Milwaukee that we went to, and I charged so much stuff on there. I was buying people drinks all on your card.
Was this the fishbowl place?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
we were drinking fishbowls. I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was great. Okay. That was a good time. So,
to be fair, Milwaukee. I guarantee that was my dad's credit card, not my credit card.
Gotta love Milwaukee.
The
It was. I remember because you got in trouble for it.
I bet.
Yeah.
So PayPal Here is what I've been using. The reason I was talking about the scanner, the card reader, is because I gave up on it. And if you just manually type it in, they charge you an extra 2.9% for every transaction you do, which I was fine with. I'm like, okay, that's what made me have a $20 minimum, because then I'm not getting beaten up too much by the fees. So I used PayPal here all the way through the show in Dallas in last September. Then I go to the show and I'm trying to take a look at it the morning I'm supposed to leave. So Friday morning before I leave for Milwaukee, I'm leaving that, like, not even afternoon, just like later that morning, I'm leaving to drive to Milwaukee. So I, at home, I log into PayPal here and it won't let me log in. I start looking it up online, like, what's the problem here? Why can't I log in? PayPal here does no longer exist. And they cut ties with it. In the Dallas show was in September. PayPal here stopped working in October.
Wow.
Right. And I'm finding out about this the day that I'm supposed to be leaving. So, right, I don't do a ton of card transactions, but I definitely do them, and it makes it a lot easier for people to do it.
And when you're not already feeling too good going into
it. Exactly, right, exactly. Yeah. I'm limiting even more how much money people can spend at my booth. So I find out that they replaced it. They replaced PayPal here with Zettle. But Zettle has, like, an approval process. It's still through PayPal. But you now need, like, a whole bunch of, like, different approvals. They need to, like, I don't even know what the hang-ups were, but I couldn't figure it out the morning of. I would need, like, my PayPal account. That's what it was. My PayPal account was, like, a personal account. It wasn't a business account. And if you use Zettle, it's got to be a business account. If you use a business account, you cannot accept friends and family. You have to accept goods and services on everything, which I understand, but I don't want to do that. I also want to accept card. So I was, like, trying to switch my account over to a business account during the drive up to Milwaukee. I'm trying to figure this out. Could not figure it out. I was like, okay, after I get set up tonight, I will sit in my hotel room and I will try to figure this out. Couldn't figure it out. The next morning is the day of the show. I'm like, okay, I'm just not taking card. So and that's the way it was. The all show, I could only take cash and I could only take, like, direct PayPal friends and family payments. First show in a very long time that I could not take card. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is that a lot of times people would be like, hey, can I get this? It's $20. And they would start reaching through their wallet and they would pull out a card. And I would just have to say, sorry, I can't take that. I can't take card. I can do PayPal or cash, whatever's easiest for you. And usually that wording got them to most of the time they used PayPal at that point, which is like goods and or friends and family. Sometimes I had one person go to the ATM because of it. I don't think it cost me too many sales, if any, but it was still just another, like, customer service hassle that I had to go through. All right. So just a heads up on that. If you use PayPal here, it's switched over to Zettle. Look into it. All right, let's get into numbers. I already talked.
I do have one question.
Yeah.
Besides numbers for you.
Yeah.
A big thing that you were concerned about was where you were going to be placed.
Oh. Okay. I should have pulled up. I should have pulled up the map. I found out where I was placed before I went, and I was also very worried about it. Did I talk about where I was placed?
Yeah, you
on the
talked
side,
about
right?
Whether you didn't know if it was going to be good or bad because it was not in the main rows and that kind of stuff, but did it end up being okay?
Was good. Okay. Traffic was definitely good. And that's usually – I don't like vendors who will complain about, like, whether they did good or bad or whatever, and they're only comparing it to the amount of money they made. You could have a – hall full of people, like jam-packed, you can't walk, and you could still do terrible if your inventory sucks. The only thing that really matters is how good is your inventory, right? So it's on you. It's not on the show to make to like, it is on the show to advertise and make sure they get a lot of people there, but at the same time, it's just as much on you to make sure you have inventory that people actually want to buy. That was my problem with the whole show, but the traffic was good even given my spot. It was
okay.
My spot was, like, next to the front. Like, there's the end caps at the front. And then all the way against the wall, as soon as you turn that that corner against the wall, I was the first booth next to the end cap. So I wasn't, like, buried back. I probably would have done about the same if I was in that same row, just in zone 2 or zone 3. So that's something to think about. Like, going in the next time, if there is a next time. But yeah, I was okay. To answer your question, I was happy with the spot that I had.
You didn't say it was the worst spot I've ever had in my life, so
no, honestly, I don't think spots really matter that much. I've always done, no matter where I've been in the back, I've been in the middle, I've been in the front. I usually do about the same, other than being like the very front end cap. I think that has an impact. Otherwise, it's I don't think it impacts you that much. Let's talk numbers. Goal was 3,000. I was hesitant. I also wasn't tracking how I did. Like through the day, I used to like write down every transaction. I sold 3 games for $54. Write down 3-54. At the end of the day, I'd be able to count up how many games I sold and how much money I had. Instead, I just knew how much cash was in my register at the beginning for change, which was $700, and then I just counted up my money at the end that was in the register plus whatever PayPal transactions I did that day. At the end of day one, I broke my goal of $3,988.
There it is.
Which was awesome, right? It's a very good feeling.
Unless you lose 2,000 of it.
Returns are definitely a possibility. Like it's
really?
I've had it. The people buy like it usually happens with systems. They buy them on day one. They take them home. The system works, but they don't know how to get a Nintendo working. They don't know that you have to play with it. They don't know that it's going to fire. They think it's going to fire right up and play like a PlayStation 5. They don't know that you have to play with it and like move it around. And so I've had it on more than one occasion. I've had a return on day two of something that was bought on day one.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So day one.
Or something I never would think of, I guess.
It's, I don't want to say common, but it absolutely has happened more than once. Day one, passed my goal. Very, very, and I have no concerns of like of it dipping. Sure, I might have a return or two, but that didn't happen. And if I did, it wasn't going to be for $1,000. So I'm happy at that point, but also not thrilled because I know that the second day for this show and any show is terrible. You never do as good as you do on day one as you do on day two. Day two is there's a lot less people. Day two for this show specifically is family day, meaning that like kids get in free. They just want people to be there. So a lot of dads like wait to bring their, and they think it's a cool thing. Like the dads will wait to bring their kids until day two because it's cheaper, and they're not there to collect video games. They're just go there to have a nice Sunday and to look around. So all my high price stuff doesn't sell, and it's just a bunch of like looky loos, and which is fine. I sell a bunch. I won't talk about it too much, but like my son had, I had so little inventory. I gave my son 1/4 of one of my boots. We went through my garage sale pile before we left on Thursday night. Me and him went through it, and I said, pick out anything you want. We will price it, and anything you sell, you can keep the money. We picked out probably like 30 to 40 items that he was going to put out. And this is in addition to his like toy bin that he put out last year. I talked about that. I won't talk about it again. But so he put out like 30 to 40 items that were like $5 or $10. End of the convention, my kid had made $204.
There it is.
So it's
good job, Connie.
Right, exactly. He was very happy with it. He hasn't spent it yet. It's been about a week since he's had it, and he still has the 200 and change, which is probably a record for him. All right, so then I do $4,000 on day one. Day two, I make another $1,437. That brings the total for the weekend to just under like $5,500, which is fantastic for what my margins are still terrible here based on like what I'm doing, the cost of my video games, the cost of the table, the cost of paying my wife 10%. That's still terrible. But as far as like what my expectations were versus like what happened here, very, very happy with how that went. The other good part, I think the Tuesday before the show, I'm going through all of my games and like pricing them, and I haven't opened up these bins since September, since I got home from Dallas. DK Oldies is updating their prices daily, right? They're adding games, they're subtracting games. Games are going up in value, down in value. Let's go through my games. So me and Connor sat up here on that Tuesday afternoon before the show, and I pulled out any game that was going to get me looking at DK Oldies like prices, I also looked at price charting and just the sticker I already had on the games, because I don't want to reprice everything, even though I almost did. And I pulled out games that would either get me the same amount at the convention as DK Oldies was offering. In some cases, DK Oldies was offering more money than I would have gotten if I would have put at the convention, or if it was within 10%. So, like, if DK Oldies is offering to pay $11 or $10 and the game's worth, like, $11 or $12, sure, send it to DK Oldies. I'll take the hit. Of those games, I got another $4.99, basically $500 from DK Oldies before I left. And those are, I should also say, those are guaranteed sales. If I take that $12 game to the convention, there's no guarantee it's going to sell. If I give it to DK Oldies, it's a guaranteed sell for $10. So that was part. I almost made $6,000 when you combined the DK Oldies with the Midwest Gaming Classic, subtracting all the fees and the inventory and my wife and all that stuff. So overall, I was happy with the way the weekend went. I don't know. I really need to consider if I'm going to do it again next year. I could probably get away with just doing the one convention every year in Dallas at the end of the garage sale season. But I got to figure it out. I don't know what my plan is right now. All right, that's all I got for GST. Nope, that's all I got for my time. Let's get to some GST.
GST is garage sale talk time. This is when me and Pee-wee talk to each other about the stuff that we found this week, or for us, the past 2 weeks, since we were off last week. We didn't even talk about that. My bad, everybody. I was supposed to put out an episode, and, you know, I'm not a nice person, so that's just what it is. Anyway, we'd like to talk about what we found, because we learned from each other. What sold this week? What didn't sell this week? What do we find? What's worth money? Blah, blah, blah. And hopefully you guys can learn something along the way as well. Pee-wee, this is a rough one for me. In the last 2 weeks, I've picked up some stuff. I only have two items worth sharing.
How is that possible?
And one of the items I'm only sharing, it's because, well, it's an Abraham Lincoln Royal Bobbles bobblehead doll.
Okay.
And I know our dear friend Useless Dave loves Abraham Lincoln.
Is that a fact? That's true?
That's the only reason. I'm pretty sure he's a big Lincoln
Abe
fan.
Big Abe guy?
Yeah.
All right.
Paid $2.99 for this bobblehead, opened it up and checked it out while I was there. It goes for about $30 or so. You know, one listing 40, one listing 25, somewhere in that neighborhood over there. It's in real good condition. I was surprised it's $2.99. My Goodwills charge a lot for bobbleheads, regardless of who it is. It could be the worst person in the world and they will still charge, excessive amounts of money, or like horrible baseball players or whatever it is. So I was, shocked to find one for $2.99 for good old Honest Abe. He deserves more. He deserves better, Goodwill. That's what I'm trying to say. And the only other find that I had over the past 2 weeks that I was willing to share was this interesting Disney Splash Mountain sweatshirt.
Ooh, I like this.
Now, Splash Mountain, I believe they closed it or are closing it or whatever.
Like
because it's tied to a old Disney racist movie or whatever it is. You know, somebody got canceled for something and now kids cannot ride boats or logs or whatever you do at Splash Mountain. And so this, it's a good looking shirt. It's a good sweatshirt here.
I think that
whatever
rabbit
it is
on the right of the, like the front right of that shirt, I think that's a controversial character.
Okay.
I think.
I'll take your word for it. I know it's true because this sweatshirt is selling for like $100 on eBay. I paid $6.99 for it, and I don't even think it is a vintage shirt. It has like a screen printed tag, and I made sure to check the comps on eBay, and same tag, screen printed thing goes for $100. So I will take it. I think it's just like you're saying, like controversial. It is a thing that's not going to exist anymore. And I believe this shirt was an XL, which is a good size to have for Disney stuff. It just, it can fit an adult or a child who wants a baggier clothes or whatever it is. And so, $6.99 into hopefully around $100. I've already gotten 3 offers on other platforms for around $50 plus shipping, and I'm like, let me hold on to this for a little bit. There's not tons of sold comps for it, but there's enough where I'm willing to hold on for a little bit longer. And that is it for me for the past 2 weeks.
Bango Splash Mountain. Okay. I've got a handful of stuff. I wish I had more pickups at the show, at the video game convention. I looked around a lot. I had a lot of time to look around, especially on Sunday, and before the show on Friday. I didn't find anything walking around, actually. I had a couple trades. Oh, I had a good trade that I was going to talk about, but I don't have any pictures of it. I had a guy who wanted a $30 game, and I just thought he was going to pay me $30 after we were done talking about it. And he's like, do you accept trades? I said, yeah. What do you have? I'll look at anything. And he goes, I have this Castlevania box. And he pulls out the box for Castlevania on the Super Nintendo. He's like, I saw that you have the cartridge, which is like one of the only good games that I had on Super Nintendo. I think I had that and Ninja Turtles. And it was early in the con. Like the Turtles game definitely sold. But he's like, would you want the box to complete it? It doesn't have the manual or anything, but having the game in the box is better. It'll increase the value, and it's better than just having the cartridge itself. He's like, I know the box is like $100, but like I'll just trade it straight up for this $30 game. I said, yeah, if you want to, let me take a look at the box. But sure, the box was in like it's in decent shape, not like terrible shape, not very good shape. But yeah, and he wasn't wrong. I looked it up, before we made the deal, and it's about it adds about $100 to the value of the game, and I was shocked by this. So I love that. That happens more often than you would think at conventions. Like I will usually have people coming up to my table and offering me stuff that's like valued way higher than they think, or way more than like they're giving them credit for, and they want much less than what you think they'd be asking for. But the only other thing I think I bought at the show was a guy who came to my table with a bag of PSP games. You know what PSP is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the PlayStation handheld game before the Vita. They're these little discs in these little cases, and they were only the discs parts. They weren't like in the actual like game cases that they came in. So it's just a bunch of loose discs. I didn't look at any of the games. I didn't count how many were in there. I just saw this bag, this giant bag of PSP games. And he goes, yeah, some are Japan, some are the US version. It's not really something I could use, which it's not. Loose PSP games don't really sell for anything for me. But how much do you want for it? Hit me with a number. He said, so later I found out, I'll ask you, later I found out it was 39 PSP games. How much do you think he wanted for this? I had to buy at the price he gave me. I had to buy it.
$20.
$12. $12.
Wait, so he asked 12 and you were like yes, or he asked 15?
No,
like 12.
He asked 12, and I'm like, because I didn't want them. Even at 12, I barely wanted them. I think they're worth about $1 a piece. The Japanese ones. Actually, no. I mean, if I lot them up, they're worth about $1 a piece. Individually, they're probably like $8 a piece or $10 a piece. I haven't looked most of them up. I only looked a couple of them up. Realized that the majority are Japanese and not worth much at all. But even so, 39 discs, 40 discs at, let's say, $4 a piece? Yeah. That's $150, right?
It's an easy buy. I mean,
$12.
I come across so many PSP games and so many of those like movies that get played or whatever, and everyone, I don't think I've found one good one ever.
It's rough. There are not many. I do know Princess Bride, the movie, is like one of the only valuable movies is, and by valuable I mean $20. It's not much. There is a Paul Blart Mall Cop. I think I have both the disc and the case, if you're looking for either version.
I'm looking for both, and priceless.
I do.
Priceless.
So now the rest of these are going to be just like regular. Most of them are Goodwill pickups. This one was Goodwill. This one I think you'll like. I have no interest in this, but it's worth something. This is an Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
What's this guy's name? Bluth?
Tobias Funke.
Whoa, I wasn't okay. I don't even know what the second word was, but this is a Tobias dress-up magnet set.
Yeah, that's great. He is an analrapist in the show, and it is an excellent show. Okay. It's one of the best comedies of all time. That's one of the best characters in one of the best shows.
Okay, ever. It was on my to watch list at one point. I had your DVDs in my car for like a year and a half to watch this show.
Goff is going to offer to buy this off.
Okay, you know, good, I'm pretty sure. Good. I paid $1 for this. There are no sold listings for these. There's like one active one that's like $50. I don't think this.
Yeah, what is it? Is it like a DVD insert or something? Or
as far as where it came from, I don't know. My guess is, to me, it's like one of those loot box items.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think it is. It's like it's bigger than a DVD. It's a magnet dress up set. So like the body is magnetic and then like maybe metal. And then the pieces, you can put like different shirts on them. You can make his skin blue. You can put a collar on them. You can do all sorts of stuff. It's a cool little set. It's sealed. The only similar one I could find was a Workaholics one. That sold for $25, but in the title, I didn't capture this, but it says Arrested Development. But I'm assuming it's a Workaholics, like Comedy Central Workaholics thing. I don't know. I think it's worth $25.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool.
Found this today. Wish I would have found it complete. This is a Link Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword figure. He has the shield. It's about 6-7 inches tall. It's missing the sword, and it's missing the base that it normally comes on. If it had those two pieces, this thing is like an $80-plus item. I found this at Goodwill for $2. I don't know what I'm going to sell just the figure as. You can't move it. Like, it's not like a figure. It's not articulated. But you can take the shield off. The shield itself is cool. Like, you probably just sell the shield by itself for $20. I'll probably list it for like $35 or $40. But I couldn't pass it up at this point, even incomplete. I dug through the toy section looking for either the sword or the base thing, but came up empty-handed. That was something I found today at Goodwill. I think
I can't even tell you when the last time I found any toy at Goodwill was.
That's so shocking to me. I just don't think you know what you're looking for.
I don't even look, to tell you the truth, that's anymore.
Literally, the only I go there. Then I walk through either the office section or the cup section on my way to the green bins, and then I go to DVDs, then I go to bags, and then I'm out of there. We've lived separate lives, man.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing.
All right. Another thing I found in the toy section. This I've been looking for a long time. I don't know if I'm going to sell it because I like this game. This is Phase 10, the Masters Edition. They must have known what they had, or they liked that it came in a metal tin, but I think I've talked about this before. There's a Masters Edition, and there's a Deluxe Edition of the card game Phase 10, and both of them sell for about $30 used. Definitely one to look out for. The regular Phase 10, it's a $5 pack of cards. But if you get like the tin that has more cards and more other stuff, the like rules and extra cards and whatever... then they go for about $30, easy, all day. Again, open and used. This was surprising. This is not a Goodwill pickup, not even a thrift pickup. This is a modern action figure pickup, something I stay away from. But I think when I show you the picture, you'll understand. I found two of these together and then one at a separate store. But I found three of these CM Punk Chase... AEW 1 of 5,000 figures, or yeah, 1 of 5,000 Chase rare figures. So what they
at Goodwill?
No, these are not Goodwill. This is Walmart.
Oh,
yeah, okay, I was looking for something for my kid, and looking in the action figure aisle. And anytime I'm in Target or Walmart, I will dig through the AEW figures to see if there is a Chase there. There's been one other time that I found a single Chase in like the past 4 years, and then this week I found three of them.
Well, this is the trash heap. I mean, he's the worst wrestler of all time. I mean, I wouldn't even call him a wrestler. He spends more time injured. But, you know, whatever. It's a good find. I think you'll be able to sell them.
Yeah, I paid.
But I'd get rid of him quickly because his value dropping in my eyes.
Okay, I can do that. I paid $20 a piece for these.
What did they go for?
About 60.
Yeah, you get that money quick.
Okay, I'm going to try. What do you think I should do here? Because I'm always
for, honestly, trash.
It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like live doing quantity bonfire. 3 in my listing.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Because I like to show individual pictures of what you're buying, and the especially on these stupid packaging, you can see the top. It's not like a card back. It's not flat. It has like these 3D edges on it where it's like coming off the card. It could easily get bent, and each one has like different wear. I think I have to list these all individually.
Okay, yeah. So you're saying you don't want to list them the three because there could be little imperfections, or
right? If I take pictures of the best one and they get the second best one. And then, yeah. You know what I mean? It could lead to a problem.
Makes sense. I did the same thing with those, like, Michigan Wolverine garden kneeling things found. Yeah. Because every one of them was, like, a little bit different
it's
wear.
It's a safer
on it.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more.
Bonfire, though, I think.
ASAP. This mess of a picture.
Woo.
This was... I don't even know if this was a good goodbye. I think it is. I came across this stuff at the mom and pop thrift store, and there was a bin that was on top of a shelf, and it was just filled with this like brightly colored neon what looked like dolls and accessories and whatever. So I look in there, and there's a bunch of individual bags of these LOL dolls, stuff I picked up before, and I'm like, oh man, there's a lot here. I should have, if I had more time, I would have taken the stuff out of the bags and like taken like decent pictures. But what you can spot is how many different bags there are and all the different price tags. It's these green squares. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm sure there's green tags that are hidden there. There's at least 10 of these bags. In my head, I'm like, I could probably get the whole thing. I wasn't like adding them up. I wasn't even taking everything out to look at them. I'm thinking in my head it's going to be like between $20 and $30 when I get to the register. She brings it all up and it's $52. I'm like, okay, well, I think I'll be okay. It's a lot of stuff. There's one bag that just has shoes in them and it's literally like 100 different shoes.
You're a big shoes guy lately.
What else? What other shoes did I buy?
All those expensive shoes, like the $90 like heel. Things.
Oh, and these, like, yeah, these, yeah, still sitting.
Yeah, you have them in your hand. You're a shoes guy.
Does this open? This open? There's a little shoe inside the big shoe.
Amazing.
What is happening?
Breaking news, everybody.
Okay, so these shoes. What sold me on it is a lot of 25 pairs of shoes sold for $30. Right? And I'm like, okay, 25, like the shoes are going for more than $1 a piece, the pairs of shoes. I've got about 50 pairs of shoes. So that bag alone is going to be worth money. All this other stuff has to be worth money. I do think I could probably get, I might be able to just lot all this up and be done with it and possibly put it at an auction and probably get like $150 for it. I think based on the amount of other stuff that I have in my basement that's ready to be listed, I think that's going to be the way I go, just so I get this done and gone.
I was going to say, you seem to get a bunch of these types of deals, and then you do all the work, and then you hate these things.
I don't know. I am begging for another Monster High pickup. Monster High is absolutely...
Monster High, yeah, but like Littlest Pet Shop.
Oh, yeah, they've... I sold another one today for another $12.99 for two of them. Oh, digging through that's the worst. Oh, I know we're going long, but like, I make a sale for Littlest Pet Shop, and it takes me 20 minutes to locate the bag that has them because I just have all of them in a box, and they aren't selling, so the box just remains full. So finding the one bag I'm looking for is impossible. This stuff I think I'm just going to lot up and make an auction and just be done with it. I don't know. You think this was a bad buy?
No, I don't think so. Especially, I mean, you've already done some of the work, the shoes and whatever. Yeah. It's annoying that when you go up and it's a little bit higher priced, it happens, yeah. But I think you'll be fine.
All right. This was the opposite. This was absolutely a low price. This is my last one, actually. Goodwill pickup from the green bins. I can't even explain. I don't know how this happens. I found two sealed Star Wars Lego sets in the green bins at Goodwill. Both of them have a 99-cent sticker on them.
Wow.
Right. They are Star Wars set 75228, the escape pod versus the Dewback microfighters. And the other one, 75264, Kylo Ren shuttle microfighter. So they come with minifigures. Both of these sets go for about $40 to $45. The boxes aren't great, but they are absolutely sealed. I went immediately back. After I found these in the green bins, I sprinted over to the board game section, hoping to find more of this stuff.
It's insane that it exists in the first place.
Sure.
Like somebody's like, yeah, I'll just toss these sealed Lego
Star Wars. I mean, they are the smaller sets, so I could see somebody at home thinking they're not worth anything. But at Goodwill.
Yeah, and you're getting $9.99 plush, and they're like, ah, I've never heard of Lego or Star Wars.
Right, Star Wars, Lego, minifigures, yeah. Any of this stuff should be ringing a bell, and it's not. So, yeah.
I mean, it just goes to show you can still find stuff. It's crazy that you can still find stuff like this, but it happens. I'm thinking of starting a business located right outside of Goodwill's where they accept donations, where I just pay everybody $5 for what they have in their car. Right? Wouldn't you rather just take my $5 rather than give away everything for free? Take $5. Go get a coffee.
If you're implying that I've never had the idea to stand in Goodwill's parking lot with a sign that says, I buy video games, you would be sadly mistaken, sir.
Look, I'm sure everyone's had the idea. Who's got the gall to do it?
Don't do this, guys. It is a shady move. It's the same as like going to a video game store that buys video, like a used video game store, and like hearing their offer and then... And I know you're kidding, but I don't like when people...
I'm not kidding at all. I'm doing this tomorrow.
I don't like when people do this at anything. It doesn't have to be video games. It could just be like a pawn shop. The reason you can't make, as a customer, an offer... Somebody brings in a baseball bat to a pawn shop. They offer them $20. You can't say, I'll give you $25 for it. And the reason that is higher on the shady scale than whatever we were talking about earlier is because that pawn shop is... paying for that space to be there. Goodwill pays for that building to be there. Part of the benefit of them paying to be there is they're now established as the person to bring their stuff to. And if you go in there and just swipe that opportunity away from them, to me, that is super shady.
I don't know. That's just called living in the good old USA and starting a better business. I'll tell you this right now. Goodwill doesn't care about me. I do care about Goodwill. Just, it's a nice place. Look, I'm not being nice anymore. Nice gets me nowhere.
All right. Mr. Nice Guy's gone.
It's
Mr.
over, guys.
Mr. Business.
Mr. Business. Mr. Aggressive Business.
Ooh, I like that.
And I'm not going to make people laugh. I don't. Why? Why start now? You know what I mean?
I agree. Make yourself money. Don't make them laugh.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got for GST. What are we doing next?
I think I got to go to therapy or something. It's been a pretty dark episode on my end. I apologize for those who are expecting Nice Guy Sasha, but it's over. I can't just remain kind to people without repercussions. Anyway, next up is Flip or Bump of the Week. This is when me and Pee-wee talk about either a favorite thing that we sold or something that happened that we learned from. We do a lot of learning on this show. We also do a lot of, or at least I'll say I do a lot of, flip and bump combination. It's one item and I go, well, it's a flip because of this and it's a bump because of this. I got one of those this week. My flip of the week is the Girls Next Door complete series. This was the show, I think it was on
E. I thought this was a home run.
It was a TV show about Hugh Hefner and the Playboy Bunnies.
I meant it wasn't a flip and a bump.
I know. I'm not reacting to you. I'm just telling people
just
what it is.
Powering through. Okay.
Yeah.
It was on E.
Girls Next Door.
Yeah, it's a Playboy
it was on
show.
E. It was a TV show, and it sold for $179.11 plus shipping. I spent $54 in total getting the six different seasons of this thing. But here's where the bump comes into place. I've had these for 2 years. I've had seasons 1 through 5. And I paid $25 total for those 5 seasons, like finding them different places, whatever, shocked. I know it's not a bump, but it's just I've had it for 2 years, and so when I was going through my DVDs, when I was cleaning things out, I was like, oh, I'm going to complete this set. How much is season six? And I found season six, the cheapest in good condition, was for $25 on eBay. I got the discs. They're in great condition, the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. So all it took was a little bit of effort, and I got a sale, you know, whatever. Spent $54, turned it into $179. After the fees, after all that stuff, I ended up making something like $95 in profit on this thing. But I've been sitting on it for 2 years when I could have done this a long time ago. That's where the bump comes into place. It's
to
just
try to make, and the bottom line is you probably would have made $20 more. Instead of paying $25, you would have paid $5.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? If I would have found
it. If you would have found it for sure,
it's a good chance that I'd never find it. You know, those late seasons are hard to find, too. And this brings us to a game called Pee-wee. Can you guess which Girl Next Door is my favorite?
Oh, you watched the show as well?
Oh, I watched it, and my wife knew which one was my favorite.
Oh, they're all blonde, right?
Uh-huh.
I know there's a Holly, right?
Holly's like the main one.
Who are the other ones?
Then there's Bridget, who's kind.
Okay, all right.
And then there's Kendra, who's like sporty.
Oh,
I
know Kendra. Yeah, yeah. Are you a Kendra guy? Yeah.
No.
Bridget, the nice one?
Currently Bridget, yeah.
Currently Bridget.
Originally, I was a Holly man.
Okay.
And then while I was looking at these discs, I was like, I think I'm a Bridget guy now. It's been 20 years since I've seen this show, but I think I'm a Bridget guy. Very pleasant, very kind. And you know me, nothing but kindness.
Mr. Business.
You never watched this show?
No, never.
Okay, that's the safe answer.
I'm a safe guy.
What does your wife feel about Hooters? Are you allowed to go to Hooters?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm getting guff over here. Because I want to go to Hooters by myself on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm getting yelled at over here.
By yourself is another story. I think my wife would yell at me if I went to any restaurant by myself that wasn't like Chipotle.
What's your flipper bump of the week?
Other than finding out that the shoe opens and that there's a necklace inside, last summer, I bought these three games. This is the Little Samson, Panic Restaurant, and Flintstones. We talked about this. I paid $3,000 for all three. I was not planning on... I knew I could not double my money on it, and I wasn't feeling like wonderful about the deal, even though it was like a significant deal on like value versus what I paid. Then in September, I go to Dallas, and I talked about this in the show, where I sold the Little Samson and the Panic Restaurant, these are Nintendo games, for $2,850 plus $750 cash. It says $850, but I gave him $100 off. Whatever that was. My flip this week is the Dino Peak, the Flintstones game, that also sold in Milwaukee. So all three are gone. So now I sold all three of those, spent $3,000, and in total, I did the math. I probably should have shown the math, but however I did it, I made $5,200 on the three. I know that I sold the Flintstones game for $1,600. I had a $1,750 sticker on it. And I was planning on being pretty firm. And then, you want to guess who bought it?
I wouldn't even know Ted DiBiase.
It's like the only guy that you would potentially even know goes to these shows. The same guy that bought my sealed graded Legend of Zelda.
Oh yeah, okay.
He also bought my two sealed Mighty Final Fights, the that purple NES game the year prior. This guy always comes. The past 3 years, has it been the past 3 years? Maybe there was a break in there, but I've had three transactions with this guy that are well over $1,000 each time, and he pays in cash. He's just like the nicest guy. Wow. It's amazing. He came over to the guy who was standing next to him was blown away. Because this guy comes up. He's like, hey, what's going on? Nice to see you. I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, what do you got? I gave him the 95.5% breakdown that I told you. Like nothing much. I mean, I guess the Flintstones wasn't here last time. It's like, oh, cool. How much you got in it? I said $1,750. He goes, okay, what can you do? How about $1,600? He goes, okay, fine.
So amazing.
He hadn't even looked at it at this point. I take it out of the case. I put it on top of the case. He starts counting out 50s and gets the 1,600, hands it over, and then for the first time ever picks up the game and like looks at it and then walks away. Like, and then he shakes my hand, says, great, you know, thank you, blah, 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 puts in his backpack, walks away. The guy standing next to him is just in awe of, like, he's like,
yeah,
do you know him? Like, did he come by earlier and look at the thing? Like, what happened there? No, he's just, that's the first time I've seen him. I'll see him a couple times more during the weekend, but like, that's just what he does. He comes by, buys my expensive stuff and gets out of there. He does it with me and two other guys in the convention, I learned. He's just
a
guy with money and likes, and he doesn't sell anything. He says he still has we talked about it a little bit later in the weekend. He still has the Mighty Final Fights. He still has the Graded Zelda. He just he likes collecting the big stuff.
Wow, that's cool.
I want to find more big stuff for Milwaukee for that reason alone, right?
And now it's time for what do we have here? This is when I pick something from Pee Wee's store. He picks something from mine, and we talk about it or ask questions. I got one for you. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I'm sick of looking at your store. Lot of two Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Christmas present playing mantis, which was a weird couple words there towards the end of that description. You got this for $59.99, and all the pictures are just of two gifts that are perfectly packaged with a nice bow on them. I don't know what you're buying. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know anything about this.
That's amazing. So these came in a set with the Rudolph the Red-Nosed figure, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer figures that were about 3 inches big. And these are like background pieces. These don't open. Okay. They're solid plastic, and they look like presents, right? It's a Christmas set. There is nothing in them. They're literally solid plastic. They're not hollow. They don't hold anything. They cannot open.
I thought they were two gifts that were sealed and there was some sort of mantis inside.
No, so
but
the
I
brand
was like, how do you know?
It's called Playing Mantis, which is a play on praying mantis, obviously.
Thank you for explaining that one.
So yeah, it's just these pieces are just rare pieces, and I think I named my price on these, but there was a sold listing that, well, I think we've talked about these before for this reason. But there was a sold listing that had like one of the boxes sold for $40. So I have both of them for $60.
Okay.
For you, I have this. I was going to ask about the Girls Next Door DVDs. I had to pull that. Instead, I have the saw blade. I'm just curious. This is a 12-inch saw blade. I just want to know what precautions you take to ship a saw blade.
Yeah, probably should have taken more. It's something that I thought about after I shipped it out. So it's in its own plastic case. Okay. But it's like a flimsy case. It's not. It's like if you've ever seen a picture disc or like laser disc record that's in the plastic case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's a just floppy plastic
case. Easily cuttable,
case.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what I did was I did bubble wrap in each direction so that it's not moving anyway inside the case, okay. But just so that there was bubble wrap on the sides of the plastic. And that's really all I did. And then I had to build a box for it. So I was angry because I had to build a, you know, 12 by 4 by 4 or whatever box, 12 by 12 by 4. And then I you know, used the masking paper on the sides or whatever. I didn't even use it a lot. So when I packaged the whole thing up, I was shaking it and I was like, this isn't good, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm clearly in some sort of funk or mood that's going on. I apologize to everybody again.
I don't know if it was legal to ship it the way you did.
I will say this. Nothing to do with this item. I apologize for my attitude, and I promise to bring a better attitude next week. But I will say this. My two guys at the post office, we all know USPS Marty. I got another guy over there. His name's Jarvis. He's relatively new. He's great. I love these guys. They're great together. They have decided to nickname me Sunshine because I always come in and I always bring you know, like a good time.
Of course.
Either that or I just look angry and they're doing the opposite. But one time it was raining and I came in and I was like, what's going on, everybody? And they were like, it's rainy. Why are you like this? And I'm like, I'm happy when it rains. Like that one song. I love the rain. And so they call me Sunshine. And then I'm at home and my wife has like a wall decor kitchen wall art thing that says Sunshine. So now I look at it and I giggle. But Marty calls me Sasha Sunshine. So... that's it. That's all I have for the show. I think I asked you already about yours. You asked about mine. That's it, right? We're done. Email us, follow us on Instagram, listen to the show. I will bring a better attitude.
Don't promise anything.
At some point. No promises. We got emails next week. We got blah, blah, blah. I'm Sasha. This is Flips and Bumps. I'm sorry, guys. We'll see you next week.
Flip that turkey.